We talking about practice?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we talking about practice. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. Little popper at the end. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. Somebody tried to spell that in the comments yesterday. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, one
of our premium members.
Yeah.
Because if you're a premium member, you can watch the video on YouTube and comment. And he tried to spell it. But I knew what he was saying, like right off the bat, so he must have spelled it correctly.
You should screenshot that and you should tweet it and say this is the sound effect. This is what we're talking about during Afternoon Delight, and people are going to go, "What is that?"
Yep. So we're talking practice today. Auburn's first practice was earlier this morning at 9 o'clock. We got to see. A little bit shorter, but the frequency is going to be up. We're going to get three this week, so three counting today. Some stuff to glean from. I kind of primarily focused on the defensive side. Zach focused on the offensive side, so I can go through his notes, Ben.
Okay.
If you got specific questions on the offense, and then obviously I watched everything I could possibly watch on defense, but I figured I would just kind of throw it to you and go back and forth on anything you were necessarily concerned about or looking forward to as practice kicked off.
Well, you know, my biggest concern is injury. Did you see anything besides, I know we got an offensive lineman that's not going to be back until middle of the season. You and I discussed that yesterday. Man,
something must have happened to him, like, literally within the last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think they, yeah.
None of that was even remotely hinted about during media days. And I think he actually gave some injury updates at media days. It's going to be a while for him. That's for sure.
But you said cart and everything, right?
Yeah, a little push cart and a little scooter thing. And it's a soft wrap, too. So, like, whatever it is, I'm assuming foot or ankle, if I had to guess. I have no idea what happened. I'm too scared to ask. Because Golish, I feel like – I don't know. I don't think he would say anyway. But
okay, so let me ask you this. When is going to be the first blow-up with Golish and a media member?
That's a good question. I don't think it'll happen between him and a media member. Maybe in season, if there's some losses or something like that, and somebody asks a question wrong. But for the most part, he's really good. Other injuries, everything that Golish mentioned in his press conference was obviously visible. As far as like those guys that he mentioned that were day to day or whatever, you know, Anquan Fagans and who was it? Anquan Fagans and someone else that was like still day to day. God, who was it? Because they were working inside today. It just completely left me.
Well, it did me too, and you just told me yesterday. So,
but there were two that wasn't necessarily expecting to be in non-contact, and it was Christian Neptune. Remember, he had a shoulder issue in spring. He was in non-contact, but he was moving around really good. He was going through all the drills and catching passes and stuff like that. And then
that's precautionary.
Yeah.
And then
Sylvester Smith was another one that I noticed.
Was he moving around or doing anything?
He's going through full practice.
Okay.
Stanton Ramil looked great. You know,
everybody has said that. That has been like the number one media tweet / observation.
He didn't even have a brace on. I don't know if that's going to be normal when they put pads on, but I mean, to go from like a pretty major knee injury to, you know, you don't even necessarily have to have some like protection on. I think that's a pretty good indication that he's healthy. And, you know, maybe holding him out of spring the way they did, they probably could have brought him back
maybe at some point
in time.
Yeah.
But maybe holding him out of spring has afforded him that extra bit of time to get, you know, fully healthy. So that's really good.
nothing. Either that or he went to Switzerland like the pros do and had illegal surgeries done. He's all good to go. But we don't know
that. I saw so Corey Wells was one of the ones that Golish mentioned was going to be a day-to-day guy. He's your big defensive tackle from Mississippi, I believe. Remember you added him really late, flipped him from Texas, him and his brother. Corey is a freaking monster. Holy, he's the biggest defensive lineman. He's a true freshman.
Like, you tell me, 17-18-year-old kid's the biggest guy we got?
Biggest guy. But it's not that doesn't take anything away from the size of the other guys.
Right.
Ben, he's a monster. I mean, he's every bit of 6'5 or 6'6 and over 300 pounds, or very close to 300 pounds. And, I mean, I was just blown away when I saw him coming off the field. I was like, oh, my gosh. His brother looks pretty good, too. Like, I know people probably think he was just a, you know, you get him to get the brother kind of thing. He was committed to South Alabama. But he looks really good. He's playing edge right now. He's physically looks really good. But injury-wise, I think that pretty much covers all of that.
Yeah. I do wonder about the DBs. You and I have talked about that from time to time. And did you get a chance to see them do any work, or is it just stretching and all that kind of, or did you get to see, because you've seen some clips, you know, of what was not supposed to be official practices, but you saw some clips going into it. And then, but now that they're full bore and, you know, spending their 13 days in camp with one another, you know, what you saw out of the defensive backs today.
So, they didn't have any – there was no period that we saw that was wide receivers versus DBs.
Right.
So it was all individual work. I think probably the bigger note, you know, Golish talked – and they talked about Champ Anthony yesterday. It was Durkin, not Golish, about kind of experimenting, seeing where he fits because he can play all the positions, has played all the positions. He was primarily today – I say primarily, the only place I saw him today was working with the safeties, which also included the nickels. So it would be – that would be like your guys, like your Eric Winters, Sylvester Smith, that group of guys. He was working with those guys. So I don't know. Does that signify he's probably going to be one of those between-the-hash type players, not really go out on the outside? That could change tomorrow. Like tomorrow he may be working with the outside corners. But from what I saw, I mean, Eric Winters is Eric Winters. I mean, he just looks like Eric Winters, but even bigger from last year. Remember, he was just a true freshman last year. They actually talked to him. We actually talked to him after practice and talked about him, you know, he's only a sophomore, but he's
– yeah,
one of the more experienced players in that system on the team. And because of that, he's obviously taken a, you know, a big leadership role in that group. When you're talking about defensive backs, Ben, there's only like two that I feel like 100% are going to be out there. Like every single snap. And Eric Winters, I feel like, is one of them along with Andre Jordan. And then I think everything else is up for grabs. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. I mean, if the offense ends up running the way the offense is supposed to run, you're going to have guys honestly be able to go when called upon, because they're going to get either winded or tired. And they've been told by Durkin, you know, don't be a hero. Like, there's going to be plenty of snaps to go around for everybody. So, and if kids buy into that, if guys buy into that, then, and they know that they're going to be getting a shot, then I think that it could be, they're just going to push each other. Cause ultimately, back in my old PA days, they just want that name called at the beginning as a starter. And then after that, they're willing to put it. Like, if you already know, okay, my name's not going to be called at the starter, okay, then I need to push as hard as I can to possibly be in there by the middle of the first quarter and then not be taken off the field after that.
You mean there may be some oars, Ben? There may be some oars in the program this year?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like last year where everybody was an oar.
Yeah. Was that spring of last? When was that?
I think it was.
Was that a game?
I feel like it was a game last year. I got to go back. It all runs together, but all I remember is literally every position.
Yeah,
and I think it was defense. Every position was an oar.
If my memory serves me correct, they've changed the rule on that. Back just out of college, back in the early 2000s, I was PA in basketball. You couldn't do ors.
You had to declare somebody.
And Cliff Ellis had to be told that because he wanted to do it. And they were like, the lineup that you announce is who is going to be on the floor at the opening tip.
Yeah.
And I think that they've changed that since then. But at the time, yeah, that used to be a rule. And I don't know if that was ever a rule in football or not. But apparently, as we saw last year, it ain't a rule anymore. But all right, from notes wise, okay, anything else on defense that like stood out to you? I mean, it looks like
one thing I thought was cool that I don't remember seeing in spring was Cody Sigler and who was it? Darian Smith. Both guys in spring primarily were inside guys, and they will be inside, you know,
Sigler,
defensive linemen. 94 and 11 is their number.
94. Yeah.
Yeah. They started off working with the edges, like the pass rushers. So, like, they were in the same group with, like, Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack, who, by the way, was full participant. So, I think that's somewhat significant with all the talk about the issues he may have had in the summer. They started off working on pass rush drills while the interior guys were hitting sleds and things like that. So, DJ said yesterday he was talking about all the different packages that they were going to test out and try to figure out ways to get guys on the field and you know, affect the quarterback and stuff like that. And I don't know if that was signifying some potential defensive fronts that you could see with, like, potentially those guys lining up on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thought that was significant. I thought it was interesting.
I guess that's depending on the package and what you've seen on film, like going against a team or something like that.
Is it if it's a bigger, a little bit more physical team?
Yeah.
Do those guys go out at edge, and then you have some of those other bigger dudes on the interior? Like, do you go super? Is there a super heavy defensive line that you could throw out there where it's like, come try to push this line around, and if you want, and they could still potentially get pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah. Huh. That is interesting. I mean, you got some DCs that they'll say, I just want the best athletes on the field. It doesn't matter what position we put them in. So, but I do think that there's, I don't know, those guys may be a little interior guys, maybe a little slower than the other edges, but they're also a little bigger. So like you just said, maybe they're going heavy. If they got a run heavy offense that they're going against, that may be the guys you have in there.
It also could just be to help them with their interior pass rush moves like that. Yeah. That could be what it is, like something that they could take and just carry it over to the interior for their, you know, their interior moves. Cause those guys will be relied upon to get pressure from the interior. There's no doubt about that.
So switch over to the offense. I know you said you didn't really pay attention to that much. You had Zach do it. I do need to know, has he still got a chubby butt or is that slimmed down? Or that seems to be one of the
talking
talks.
Bryson.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see, I know he was out there, but I didn't really get to see him. I'm going to see if Zach gave any kind of update on it.
It'd be interesting to see if that gets brought up during camp at all. I said something on the internet the other day about it, and I've been getting a bunch of likes and a bunch of people making fun of it because somebody had posted a video of him being, I don't know, something like the fastest back recorded last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, that's apparently not this year because apparently he's got a chubby butt. And I said, those are not my words. That's Golish's words, by the way. Yeah. And I did it like tongue in cheek, but people are like liking it, sharing it. And so I was sitting there thinking, okay, when he gets in practice, I do wonder it was said he wasn't quite where he needed to be. So, but you and I were talking about, I still think in a couple of weeks he will be.
I got to make it a point tomorrow to watch. We're going to switch. Like, so Zach's going to go do offense tomorrow. He's going to go do defense tomorrow, and I'm going to do offense. So I'll make it a point to watch running backs. Just being completely honest, I don't know. I didn't really get to see it.
Per his notes, anything stand out to him? Did he have anything starred or, highlighted and things that he saw? Because I'm telling you, I think this is going underrated, Kyle, the fact that when they left spring, they had the full offense implemented. So now it's like when they get out there, they're not having to have, yes, they're having to have teaching moments, but they're more of learning moments instead of teaching moments, because they got everything where they need to be going into fall camp.
Yeah, as far as offensive notes go, I think the note everybody's talking about is Deshaun Spencer was sort of your lead guy in the slot, which is pretty eye-opening because he had a huge spring, remember,
yep.
With Christian Neptune's injury. And I think we maybe talked about this, maybe this was another show of the 100 that I do where we talked about once everybody's healthy, particularly Christian Neptune, because he was like the number one slot guy, like how hard is it going to be for him to get back on the field? And Deshaun Spencer seems like he's like, nah, bro, I ain't giving this thing up. And I think it may have even opened the door for Golish to be able to use Chaz Nimrod in more spots instead of just the slot. Like maybe he could play a little bit more outside. I know it's very early and it's the experimental. This is experiment time where you just kind of find some stuff that could work, but that's a pretty significant development. That slot room is not like it's thin. I mean, you got Bryce Kane in there.
Yeah.
You got, you know, several guys, and Deshaun Spencer seems to be on top, which I think is cool.
Well, you got a
lot of best receiver out of Saraland High School ever.
Well, you gotta like it though.
You got that. Did you get that?
Yes, I did. Okay. I did.
Yeah. He's only got one last name too. No hyphens. He is Saraland's all-time leading receiver, by the way. That's a fact.
I concur. I wasn't going to question that.
That's what it is. I mean, I don't make the rules.
You got to like that from an offensive coordinator standpoint too, though, because you got various looks you can use. You got the looks you can use, not just the looks, but it's not like, Kyle, how many times have we said, dating back to the Gus years, when you put like Michaela back there at that slot position, we're like, okay, he's getting in around.
Yeah.
Like it's,
we know what's coming.
Yeah. Like we all know what's now. It didn't stop him because he was, I mean, you know, it didn't stop him because he ran a friggin' 4.1. So, I mean, it's not like you still got to stop him when you do that. But
Mario Fannin or Harold Joyner.
Yeah.
Here comes the wheel route.
Yeah. Here comes the wheel route. I mean, so I think that it's awesome when you've got that kind of depth. Like we talked about the running back room where it doesn't matter what three guys are back there or one of the three guys are back there. You're going to see they all can run the same stuff. Like not like you're not substituting for a specific package. I mean, it's different because some people go, well, they do that with quarterback. Well, when you got a guy like Tim Tebow or Cam Newton back there, which now we got Brown back there. And, you know, yes, on a 4th-and-1 or a short or you're 4th-and-goal from the half yard line, everybody knows where the ball's going. Like, and so you can swap them out because you put the big package in and you're basically shove somebody across the line and either get a first down or a touchdown. But when you start talking about other positions, we've seen so many times when Anthony Schwartz was split out wide, we knew that he was running the go route. Like everybody on the field did. When Ontario McCaleb was sitting in the slot, it was the end around. When
or speed sweep, something like that.
When, like you said, when Harold Joyner was back there in the backfield, we were doing the wheel route. That was going down usually down the right side as well, every single time. So it is just, it's got to be a great, I guess, luxury for offensive coordinator as well as Byron Brown, because people aren't going to be able to cheat on him. They're not going to be able to cheat and shade or anything of that nature. So it gives you so many options. And so I'm actually glad to see that. I'm glad that you got, like you said, definitely two, if not three guys fighting it out at the slot position. You got three guys, even though we probably all know the order right now that they're going in, fighting out at the running back position. And is at the wide receiver position. I mean, it sounds like they're platooning those guys out left and right as well. So it doesn't sound like defenses are going to be able to cheat on packaging whenever guys are in there.
I think that's probably fair. I'm going to watch that tomorrow. I'm going to make sure I want to watch running back rotations. Want to get a good idea of that and really lock in. You can kind of tell, too, as far as urgency goes, like when, the way coaches talk to certain players. They're invested in them. Like, I think Golish is very invested into Brian Williams Jr. Like, it seems like he's always – by the way, he's – Brian Williams Jr. is a monster, too. Like, he's put the work in. He's a big – he looks like a whole different human. He's big. But, just investing into certain players. And I don't say – I don't think this, like, necessarily means they're picking and choosing winners. But they just know – and they may do – they just know like the value of certain guys and how important they are.
Not just that, I'd say dependability.
Yeah.
You're wanting to win football games your first year. Let me take a look around. Who can I depend on that I can, when it gets to talking about, we did this scenario thing. You did it the other day on Afternoon Delight where we talked about, closing out or getting over the hump. And clearly it sounds like he's finding guys that he thinks in that late game situation or in key moments in the game situation, he's got his dependable people that he's going to have to go to. So you might as well stay in their ear now because you know as well as I do, some of those discussions on the sideline, those are going to be man-to-man talks. Like, these are the expectations. This is what you're expected to do. And if you've won their trust this early, it's going to be a whole lot easier to confront them in the game.
No doubt about it. So we got practice again tomorrow. So tomorrow's show will be probably pretty similar, talking about practice. I think they're off Friday. They're off Friday. They do walkthroughs. We're just off Friday. We don't get any availability, and then we'll see it again on Saturday. So a lot of notes, a lot of things to look forward to as fall camp is underway.
He give you a rundown, any sort of scrimmaging or anything taking place on Saturday?
There's no scrimmage on Saturday. He said they were going to do – four practices in a row, and then four in a row because they're off Sunday. Four practices in a row, an off day, and then maybe three practices in a row that are preparing for a scrimmage. So if that's the case, it sounds like there'll be a scrimmage next Thursday. I think that's right. That's what it sounds
okay.
like. Sometimes towards the end of next week, there should be a scrimmage. And I think there's only two. They're only planning for two. But they also said, like, there's going to be so many periods, team periods, that are going to be like scrimmages. Like, they had referees there today, which they pretty much do.
Yeah, they got to get their training into.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're like SEC refs or whatever. But that, in other words, they're doing some form of scrimmage like every single day.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be – I'm interested to see. This is totally off football topic right here. With them doing the camp thing and they're trying to develop activities, I can't wait to some of these folks in the community, like walk in the movie theater and there's 110 guys sitting up there. Little things like that.
Camp stuff so cool.
I love it.
I can't believe we weren't always doing that.
And the thing is, it sounds like, he did it at South Florida, but he had to have gotten the idea from somewhere, you would think. I mean, I know the pros do it because
the pros still do it.
Yeah, they literally go
in almost every sport.
Yeah. And so
training camp for baseball, you go to a whole different town, like a whole different city. Yeah. And then I think there's a lot of fall, mini camps for football that are kind of similar, but.
Oh yeah. They're not playing at their facility. They don't transition to the facility till for another couple of weeks, even football right now, pro football anyway, they're off at their camps at different locations. And so, basketball does the same thing NBA does. They'll go – they only do it for like a week. They don't do like 13 days like this. But I think it's cool because I've told you, I think that when you get down to day like 10, 11, 12, they've seen the good, bad, and ugly out of every teammate that they're with.
Yeah.
At that point. And so and maybe that's why he went double-digit days. And maybe that's why he went the 13 days to go – this thing going to be a honeymoon. We're not going to go out there and stay at the hotel for 3 days and act like that's getting everything done. We're going to make sure that they have meetings together, that they have questions with one another, pairing veterans with rookies and that kind of thing. So, or with freshmen, I guess I should say. And so I love it. I think that nothing but good can come about from it. And Kyle, let's just be honest. We heard some of the rumblings about what took place in the locker room. I just don't think you see those issues after something like this.
definitely helps. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
From the camaraderie standpoint.
Yeah.
But I think that's all for today, guys. We'll be back again tomorrow. Again, thank y'all for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, tell a friend, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your grandmother. Doesn't matter.
Spell out pews.
The barn and tell everybody about Afternoon Delight. We're going to get out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.